Hello and welcome to Dream Freedom Beauty, the podcast for intuitives, empaths, healers, and those who feel like the black sheep of society, because honestly, society just doesn't acknowledge our wholeness, our intuitive senses, and our connection with and as nature. So if those resonate with you, you're in the right place. Welcome. And this week's guest is Liv Wheeler with the Contemplé. So we are bringing her back. She's been on many episodes, and I know many of you love her. If this is your first time listening to the show, you're in for a wild ride, because Liv is a very unique person, and she actually channels the voices of these nature spirits called Contemplé, and it's very different and very awesome in my book. So just let you know that's what you're in for today. And I'm just so grateful for everyone showing up in this space and for the beautiful community that is arising out of such a simple offering as a podcast of conversations between intuitives. So I'm super grateful for you all. Before we get into today's show, I want to take a minute to check in with Caroline Putnam, who was on episode 69. She lives in Peru and works with indigenous elders from Peru, and she's going on tour to bring a Peruvian elder to the United States to share ceremonies with the people. Hi, Caroline. Can you tell us a little bit about what this tour is, what you're offering, and why people would want to come and attend these ceremonies?
Hola. Yep. So I'm really excited. Revivolution will be hosting Elder Juan Gabriel Paz de Lunasco of the Caro Nation of Peru in the U.S. He's coming down from a 15,000-foot mountain to be able to come to the U.S. and share Andean ceremony and teachings. We're really excited this time because typically we've just been sharing ceremonies, but we've been inspired this year to go a lot deeper and really share how these teachings can benefit our daily lives. And so on August 26th, we'll be doing a full day intensive in Portland. And August 31st, we'll do a full day intensive in Peonia, Colorado. And then we move on to Los Angeles, where we're going to do a full weekend retreat from September 8th to 11th to really dive in a lot deeper. And then we'll do an evening ceremony on September 11th. And on the September 15th, we'll be passing into Santa Barbara for an intercultural exchange night. And so we're just really excited that we get to go a lot deeper with people and have more time to really connect.
Very cool. That is exciting. And I hear this is in support of helping you all raise money to purchase land in Peru, where you can offer even deeper intensives and retreats and connect people with more indigenous elders and medicine.
It's true. We're really excited about this. It's something we've been working towards for 5 years. And so not only are these ceremonies in the U.S. supporting people to benefit in their own lives, but they're also supporting us to benefit even more people. So in November this year, we'll be doing our Andean Immersion 1. In December this year, we'll be doing the Andean Rejuvenation Retreat.
And that's, those are in Peru, right?
Those are in Peru, okay. Yep. And then because we'll be getting the land by the end of the year, we'll also be offering our Andean Immersion 2 in February, which really starts bringing the teachings to more earth-based wisdom. And then finally, we get to do a permaculture immersion in the whole month of April next year with Penny Livingston Stark, where we'll be offering a permaculture design certificate to individuals who participate, alongside weaving and herbology and ceremony. So really understanding where these ceremonial practices come from, the actual place where they come from, the nature, the environment, and earth stewardship. So it's to enhance our lives and bring that home for all of us.
Great. And where can people go to find out more and how to sign up for these retreats or help support you?
You can go to revivolution.net, which is revivolution.net. And just click on what we offer and you'll see a list of the Peru retreats, and you also see our US 2017 schedule.
Okay, thank you so much, Caroline.
Gracias.
Welcome back to the show, Liv Wheeler in Peru now. Yeah.
Thank you, Natalie.
Yeah, I'm always, oh my gosh, you're reading about your recent travels is like reading, it's like a movie. I'm like, wait, whoa, what? This is real? Yeah. So do you want to share with the people exactly where you are and how it feels to you to be there?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So right now I'm tuning in with you all from Pisac in Peru. So I'm in the Sacred Valley, and I know a lot of people, I hear that a lot of people have traveled here and a lot of people have fallen in love with these sacred mountains, these beautiful mountains. And so here I am tuning in with you all and feeling really grateful to come back together with you, Natalie, and those that are listening too. Hello.
Oh, hi. So
we're gonna be silly.
That's like our that's our main
that's
mode
our MO.
Yes, that's exactly what we do. That's how we roll. So do you want to lead us and our listeners on an invocation to welcome us into this space?
Yes, most definitely. So from wherever you all are, wherever you're sitting, on a chair, on the ground, just closing your eyes and tuning into your breath, and especially feeling your breath inside your belly. And feeling relaxed and at ease. And grounded, rooted to the earth, and connected with each other. That we're all connecting here from our hearts. And as we connect heart to heart, then the love grows. So sensing the roots, the rootedness deep down in the earth, feeling our connectedness here, heart to heart, and also noticing at this time or sensing your ancient ancestors all the way back, far back, far back, far back are here with us, especially connecting with the ancient energy. So connecting with our ancient ancestors and connecting with our guides and our guardians that have been with us all along, and here they are with us, and feeling the great goddess, feeling our guides and our guardians that have really never left our side, and here they are with us still. So honoring the guides and the guardians and the ancient ancestors that accompany each of you, and giving a special shout out to the Kuntum Knight, because we'll be talking to them at some point today. And yeah, here we all are together. So thank you, Natalie, for welcoming us.
Thank you for helping us all welcome each other. So where to begin? Because there's a lot going on. I'm going to just make sure I get this right here with your story. Because there's, okay. So I love this. And for listeners, I had Liv send me a condensed version of her travels.
It turned into a small book.
Like, yes. I'm like, wow, it's amazing. But I love this part that I guess it was, you know, earlier this year, late last year, you received, is that right? That's when you received the message from Spirit to pack it all up? And I love this. You said you condensed your life and belongings into two suitcases, and that it was really hard to do. That one of your suitcases is really huge because you didn't want to let go of your jackets because you are really into jackets. I'm like, I feel you, girl. I feel you. I love that.
I'm
So,
into jackets.
that it's awesome. And I love your style. Every time I see you, I'm like, damn, she dresses so sharp. I'm like, can you help me shop? I hate shopping. I just want someone to like shop for me. And I love your style. So I just want to,
Do you know that? Well, for those who have traveled to Pisac and who have gone to the markets, I mean, it's just full of beautiful colors and, amazing boots and jackets. And so I've acquired an orange crop sequin jacket for something here.
I need a picture of that, please. Can you
I'm
do
gonna
a
bring
photo shoot with that to be the
totally.
image for this? Oh my God.
I'm gonna bring you back a sequin jacket.
Oh my goddess, yes. Yes. I will wear it too. I will love it.
I'm gonna so bring you one.
Awesome. I am so stoked. I'm like, I'm ready to just hop on a plane and just go down there and hang. I'm
I'll
like, this
deliver
is,
it to you. Or come.
I
Come here
know.
too.
That sounds so awesome. Yeah. So I love this too when you were called to, you were living a life up in the Pacific Northwest, and it hadn't been that long since you moved there, like less than a year. And you're like, oh, well, I'm getting the call to just pack it all up and go. And I just love this story because this is almost like a peak moment in this long journey you've been on to bit by bit trust your guidance, trust your intuition, listen to spirit, and do what you're being guided to do. And this is kind of like the moment where it all comes together. Like, now you pack up and go, and where are you going? I don't know. So can you share with us some more about what that calling felt like, and what called to you to do that, and what did it feel like? What was going through your head and your heart when you were like considering this and going through with this?
So a lot of times I'll let people know that I feel basically the way I live my life is guided by a spirit. And so what that means for me is that in some ways I'm constantly having an ear to the other world. And it means that I really trust them. I trust them with my life. And that's where, however my life looks to an outsider right now is basically, it's not any great idea that I have. It's basically their great ideas. And I'm somewhat, or maybe especially surrendered to that at this point. But so I was noticing that I was traveling a lot with invitations that were coming up, to facilitate ritual in various places, mostly in the States. And and it seemed like it happened all at once, where the invitations were increasingly coming up in other countries. And it seemed like at the same time, I was getting that sense. It'll translate to me as like a sense or an instinct in my body. And I just kept having the feeling they were just, that I was just, yeah, just to go all in, as I'm saying, is like to fully trust, to pack my life into two suitcases was to say to them too that I'm fully trusting them, because nothing's guaranteed. A lot of times I think the way I used to want to live life was with a lot of security, or the sense of security. And I feel like the more I'm being guided by spirit, it's kind of just basically to let go, to continue to let go of security or even the illusion of security.
From material outer things, like from that idea that we're kind of fed, that conditioned idea, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I think it seems like in ways the way I'm living is maybe very unconventional. And I don't know that I was ever like craving a conventional life necessarily, but yeah, I used to think that I wanted to be living in one place and I wanted to be really getting to know that one place. And I wanted to maybe have land, like a lot of people have this dream, and to kind of, you know, send my little roots down, and that people maybe would come to that space who felt called to engage in ritual and that. And I thought that was my dream for a while. And then I realized that might have been partly based on a desire for security. Mm-hmm. So it was just, yeah, distilling it all. And yeah, I was joking with you about my love for jackets, because you get to see when you're condensing it all, what do you really value? I'm like, I can't let go of these jackets. Get a bigger suitcase. Okay.
That's so funny.
So I did it, and it was at the same time where basically a tour around the world in a way was being being created, perhaps from the other world, and it was being created in this world. And so I did that. So I packed it up, and then without the long term or the five year vision or the 10 year vision or something, it's just kind of just basically being fluid. And it was interesting because at first it was somewhat exciting, like, yeah, okay, cool, adventure. What's gonna happen? Mm-hmm. And then I felt like I kind of got slammed with fear a little bit when I was in Mississippi facilitating an ancestralization, and it all kind of just came out in community too, because I found that, because after I left Mississippi, that's when I was going to be setting off on this kind of like a world tour, and then also who knows where. And every time I was looking at those suitcases, I was starting to, like, a lot of fear was coming up. Like, am I crazy? Like, did I just do something crazy?
Well, yeah.
Is that crazy? Yeah. It would have been like the definition of crazy, but it just all came out in community. And I was just saying, like, I'm really scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I feel scared. I don't know if I'm going to be received well in these places. I feel really scared. And the community that was there, they just were able to hold it. And I just was able to kind of like feel held by community. I'm always like to be transparent. And so I just was transparent with my process, and they held me beautifully. And I felt like it enabled me to, for the energy to transform. So that was nice.
So help you open up and trust what was coming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. And then I, you know, on the other side of the tour, I knew I was being, as far as a place to like land, so to speak, I knew I was being guided to the mountains, and I thought that was in Ecuador. And by the time I got to the Sacred Valley, I feel like the land has like kept me. And I'm like, I'm not complaining at all. I love it. Like, okay, I'm staying here. So
yeah. I love it. I think that's a great example too of surrendering and letting go of expectations. You didn't surrender. Or it's more like you surrendered your will to this guidance of this, like, do this, like, go here, pack up, go here. And you had an idea of you were being guided at the end of this tour to the mountains, but you thought it was one place, but you surrendered your expectations and landed in another place, which is fulfilling. Yeah. And I think that's such a beautiful example of putting that into practice, which I think a lot of people sometimes get really wrapped up or tied up and confused about.
I appreciate that. And, you know, something that's interesting about it too, I feel like part of what Spirit was guiding me to was to become, the way it was translating to me was basically to become like a child of the earth, that it's not so identified with one culture or another, not really any of them, is to be that I feel more like a child of the earth now. And I'm just loving so much connecting with other souls around the earth. And I feel like in some ways, like the story of the earth can only be completely told by listening to all the different stories, you know, because we all just have a little piece or a little part of it. So I love just meeting people from different cultures and just being quiet and listening to them. And I feel like I'm learning so much just like through listening, basically, and listening with my body too.
Wow. We really need like 8 podcasts for this. So your tour started, your international tour, I'll say, because you've done a lot of domestic touring here in the United States. You started with New Zealand, then you were in Bali, then you were in the Netherlands, then you were in Iceland, then you were in Denmark, and then you were in the Sacred Valley of Peru.
Yes.
And that's where you are now. So just to give people an idea of like where this has taken, you have been all around the world. I guess you didn't go to like Japan, but that's probably on the horizon. You know, you just can't see it yet. It's just all over the edge. So I'm excited for your Antarctica tour.
What's up, Antarctica?
What's up? Penguins are like, do penguins live there or the North Pole? I think they're in the South
Who
Pole.
Are the little people of Antarctica?
Right? Yeah. Oh, I bet they are partying out there. Yeah. So you've been all over. I want to give time and space to each place you were. And I'm thinking that we'll get deeper into your tour, because we're going to connect with the Contumble too. So I'm thinking that we'll get deeper into your tour in our secret episode and maybe dig deep into your story about Iceland, which is just amazing. And so New Zealand. So something in New Zealand that happened for you is really beautiful with meeting. And also, how do you pronounce the I don't know, Aotearoa? How do you pronounce the indigenous name of New Zealand?
Let's see if I can do it. Okay. Aotearoa.
Aotearoa.
Aotearoa. Close to that. Aotearoa.
Okay. And so you ended up meeting someone who felt someone very special there. Can you share with that who that is and what that was?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that was a really, it was a very profound experience for me because, Aotearoa, New Zealand. Yeah, that was the first stop. And I was telling you, in the message I sent you that before going there, well, I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie Whale Rider. It's hard not to feel like deeply moved by, even if that's somewhat true about the Maori. It's really so, it's a deep, deep, deep culture. So the Maori there in Aotearoa, I found myself before arriving there really curious about the Maori, and the land that I was staying on, it was one day after I had done a session with somebody long distance, and this woman that lived on the land, she was introducing me to a person who was also living on the land, what they're calling like a master carver, and like a Maori elder. And so his name is Matua. And when I went to meet Matua with this woman, we're in the middle of talking and he was sharing with me this incredible carver. And so he was showing me his carving and we're in the middle of talking and we were talking about the little people and he was telling me about the Patu Paruehi, the little people, and the Ture who, the little people of New Zealand. And yeah, we were just in the middle of talking about it and it was like we both got struck by lightning or something, or like spiritual lightning. I mean, it really just like hit us both at the same time. And we just immediately went over to each other and hugged and cried and cried. And we realized that we knew each other from such a long time ago, that he was my father from a long time ago and I was his daughter from a long time ago. And we were so happy to see each other again. And we just remembered each other at the same time. And it was very emotional. And we would, you know, we would meet every day. And it just felt like we had so much to catch up on, you know, from these lifetimes. And, you know, when I would dream, when I would go to sleep and dream, then I started dreaming of the whales. And my little understanding is that the whales are very important to the Maori, particularly probably some of the Maori tribes. And anyway, and so I started dreaming of the whales. And it, yeah, that was a very profound connection. And Matua and I have just, we have a father-daughter connection. And we had that feeling that, you know, that we'll be traveling to different lands and sharing our medicines together. He was with me in the Kuntomle ceremony there in New Zealand and, you know, welcoming in the Maori ancestors and honoring the Kuntomle. And yeah, so we had that feeling that we would be continuing in different lands, so to speak, and that'll be happening in the Sacred Valley in the New Year's that we can, you know, say something about later. But yeah, that was quite profound.
Very, very cool. And I remember when you were there, I don't remember if it was one of the like Instagram stories or if it was a post you did, but you shared, you recorded him and shared him doing this blessing of the earth, of this little blessing he does whenever he goes somewhere new. Do you remember that? Can you recall that?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. yeah, I can, because he was sharing something with me and it was so simple and also so profound at the same time. And it was so beautiful. And I asked him, you know, is this okay for me to record this? Because I feel like this could be really helpful for people. And there's something about Matua I've noticed through the sharing on Instagram. And he recently was at this elders gathering in Ibiza, of all places. It's kind of, I still crack. I'm like, what was the elders gathering doing in Ibiza?
That is funny.
It's funny, right? Mm-hmm. It's really funny. But anyway, so yeah, what I've noticed is he seems to, when people hear him speak, and sometimes even when they just see him, it seems to really activate something in them at the soul level. That's what I've noticed. So yeah, I was noticing and I was receiving messages. People seem to be deeply moved by Matua. And something that's so beautiful about Matua too is that, and this is something you and I, Natalie, were talking about the other day, is that spirituality can be very silly and lighthearted.
Yeah.
And it can be joyful and it can be, you know, it can have a light heart to it. And that's something that was fun or is fun about connecting with Matua, is that he's incredibly deep. And also he's so silly. He's similar to the Kuntomle. Like they like to give each other a hard time. The Kuntomle and Matua, they just, you know, they love to give each other a hard time, and it's beautiful and it's love, you know?
Just like teasing each other or what?
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's an example. Here we are in ceremony in New Zealand, Aotearoa. And this, okay. So it's a moment where the Kuntomle are sharing with this woman, and it was a very precious moment. And they were saying to her, we're so sorry for what you've experienced. And they were saying these things to her, and it was very tender. And I am on one side of a, curtain, and she's on the other side. I can hear her on the other side crying. It was a very tender moment. And they were telling her that they placed flowers on her pillow. It was so sweet. And of course, I had no idea what they were talking about to her, but she knew what they were talking about. And then, so they're saying, oh, you know, we placed flowers on your pillow and that. And then all of a sudden, Matua says to them, Kuntumble, will you place flowers on my pillow? The Kuntumble were like, Matua.
Oh my gosh.
Like if they had a shoe, they would throw it at his head. But he's like, you know, he's a little bit mischievous like that too.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Troublemaker.
Like a coyote.
Naughty. Yeah, really naughty.
My kind of pal.
Oh, you would love him. Totally love him. You two would have so much fun together.
Oh, I hope we get to meet. That'd be cool.
I think you will.
I feel like you might. And so this I really want to make sure we share this blessing too. What do you know? Do you remember if it was a post you made? Like, can people still go find this on Instagram? The video?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. It's on. Yeah, absolutely. It's on my Instagram, and just, you know, keep scrolling down. Matua is very easy to notice because he has the, I don't know the correct term, but the, you know, the tattoos on the face, the traditional tattoos, Maori. So he's easy to spot.
Mm-hmm. I'll see if I can find it and link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
He does this beautiful thing where he picks up some soil wherever he goes and he holds it and he blesses it and blesses the land and just honors and respects and acknowledges the spirit of the land where he is, and then sends it off. He lets go of it and lets it go off, and just, it's like this attunement to wherever he comes, this honoring of the land. And I was like, I love that simple ceremony. And I feel like people even do that kind of unconsciously, but I know it gave me permission to step it up and do it more consciously. And I even did it in, like, I was in California in some parking lot of a, I had just gotten there and just landed and just gotten to this grocery store, and I was like, oh, I must bless the land. So I, like, picked up the soil. I felt so silly, but I was also like, seeing that gave me that confidence to just do it. Like, who cares?
Beautiful. Yeah, he would be so happy to hear that. yeah, he'd be so happy to hear that. And it's true too. There's a simplicity to it. It's so accessible and feels really true too.
Feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So next you went to Bali, and I love how you could sense that the energy was different and clear and extraordinary there, because and that you noticed that the locals are constantly making offerings to the other world. And they just do that. Like, that's just something they do. They don't, it's like, it was, I don't know their history, so I don't know if this is true, but it feels like it was never something that got lost there.
Right.
Or if it was, they've been able to revive it in a way that made the land feel extra potent. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's funny too, because I've been hearing about Bali for...
ever?
I mean, ever. I know, have we all been hearing about Bali forever?
Right?
It's like, the sacred land. And I've been hearing about it for so much and for so long, and I think I have a rebellious part of me. It's like
everyone's doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I have, like, a rebellious part of me. So I was like, I'm gonna be the one that's not, like, totally smitten about Bali.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I know it's silly. But and so I went there because, you know, anyway, it's just the rebellious part of me. But so
I get it.
I went there. Don't get me wrong. I was so excited about going there. But so I went there, and I think it was by day two or something that I was like, oh my God, I drank the Bali juice. I'm so in. I love it.
Wow.
I'm like everybody else. I love it.
Wow.
But, and yes, and having just, you know, feel like making prostrations to the culture that for their steady devotion to the other world, that they're constantly, constantly, constantly making offerings. I felt like when I come out and see this, I feel like starting to make prostrations to them for them doing that. And I do, I really, really, really do. I do from the depths of my being believe that what we all are so like flocking to Bali for about like, yes, it's beautiful. And there's a lot of places that are beautiful. And I really truly believe it is due to their tending to the other world, and that it feels so good energetically. I believe from the depths of my being, because they are steadily making offerings in that way. And I just, you know, I guess I fall speechless a bit, because it's just, you know, how do I give thanks to that well enough for the gesture that they're, not just the gesture, but what they're doing day in and day out in their awareness of the spirit world. And, you know, this is to tend to this, you know, guardian of this block, and then this is for this house, and this is for this, and their intricacy, their intricate awareness of the spirit world and how it is still intact, miraculously, even with the influx of Western tourism, is really so beautiful. I mean, and yeah, so I felt that. I really, really felt that was due to their attending to the other world. And the other thing I noticed that was so also like visceral was there was something that I was feeling every time that I was sitting with the women that I was sitting with, and not only just the women, and I was trying to put my finger on it, and I finally did after a few days, and I said to my friend, Ash, I said, I feel like the feminine is allowed to thrive here, isn't it? And she was like, yeah, totally. I was like, do you feel that? It's like the wild feminine is allowed to be or to exist here. And there's nothing trying to shut it down. And I could feel it or sense it in each woman that I was sitting with, and also the men that I was sitting with, because of course we have masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people will say about the Balinese men is that, oh, they're very feminine. And I almost want to challenge that and say, are they very feminine, or have we been like hyper masculinized? Yes. Right? Like, oh, are they actually really feminine, or have we been masculinized, or however the word for that is, right? And this was deep for me, this realization, because I realized, wow, how many places have I traveled to that I haven't felt this energy before? And that the wild feminine is able to just thrive, and that nature is able to thrive, and perhaps those are one and the same. And it was just gorgeous sitting with the women and or the men or humans there in their expression, and to feel like, wow, that's deep. That's deep. And that's something I love about traveling too, is that, you know, sometimes how can we tell until we have an experience of the contrast of the energy?
Right.
How can we, you know, it's like you can't tell what it is until you experience what it isn't, or something.
You didn't even know that existed or was an option.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that existed or was an option. And then I thought, like, and I could feel my own energy field expanding and shifting and changing simply by being there. And that's when I was asking my friend Ash about, like, how can I give back to this culture too? Because I felt I was receiving so much from it simply by just being there. You know, it was giving me so much. So yeah, that was deep.
Wow. I want to go to Bali now. I mean, I already wanted to go, But I kind of had that same rebel of like, everybody's going, so why would I, you know, I'm not going to do what everyone's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, but the listening to you talk about it, I'm thinking, wow, if we seed our own cultures and our own land, yes, where we live with the same sort of, yes, reverence, what can show up here like that, yes, we aren't even aware of it existing? It might not look like Bali, but it might have, yes, its own resonance with that.
Yes, thank you for that. Yes, yeah. yes thank you.
Bringing, yes, Bali home.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, it's just, you know, as I mentioned from the beginning, is like, this is what my journey looks like currently as being guided by spirit. But I imagine for a lot that it's like, yeah, bring it home, mm-hmm, wherever home is for you. And yes, let's lovingly attend to the other world, because as I mentioned to you before, when we talked the other day, or sent you this message, is that something this man said to me in a cafe in Bali was so simple and so profound, was that it was my friend Asha's friend, when we were talking about feeding the other world, and he was saying why he does that. He said two things very simple. He said, one, it's out of respect, and two, it's maintaining the harmony. Two things, out of respect and maintaining the harmony. It's, you know, it's like respecting our neighbors and maintaining the harmony. And I will say, from what I experienced there in Bali, is like they absolutely know a thing or two about harmony. And my sense was is that with those harmonious relations with the Balinese culture and with the other world, then there we all are who, even those of us traveling there, are able to experience harmony and bliss, these blissful energies. It's just like, could those be connected perhaps? You know? And yeah, absolutely. It's like, yeah, bring it home. You know, like, let's feed the other world everywhere where we are. Let's totally bring it home.
Wow. And the image I'm getting that kind of relates this experience is, if you have been living with a condition for so long, or it's just kind of always been that way, that you didn't even realize that it could be any other way. That's kind of, and then you get healthy and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that, right? I could like feel this good. It's kind of like that here. We are so hyper masculinized and so, yeah, just in this disharmony that we just think this is how it is. But
yeah, that's just normal.
There's,
yeah,
like, and not to like diss it, but just to recognize that there could be this other, you know, like what else is possible as like consciousness explorers, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what else is possible? Absolutely, what else is possible? And yeah, I think that's a beautiful question to ask.
Yeah, I know from feeding, making offerings and feeding the other world in my own home, I've been so freaking supported. Like my own healing has accelerated. My relationship with my husband has just like gone even deeper and blossomed even more beautifully.
Right on.
Just like, it's just like it's just so nurturing. I'm like, okay, wow, how can I expand on this in my own community? Like, what can we do? And just, the balls are rolling in my head. Like,
yeah.
What can we do?
Yeah, you know, Natalie, too, this came up the other day. Well, it's actually the Sacred Elemental Wisdom School that we're, the journey that we're all on together or in together as women, but something came up as an example that somebody had told me before, as far as like an offering to the other world, to the ancestors, to whomever we're wanting to feed, is that, okay, let's say you're having a party. I did this once with a birthday party, and it's dedicated to the ancestors. It's dedicated to, well, let's stick with the ancestors. It was dedicated to the ancestors. And simply by placing that intention, everybody that came, they knew this is dedicated to the ancestors. And there was even an altar where people could make offerings to the ancestors. And to me, the energy felt so good because the ancestral realm received all of that energy that was being generated through the party, through the celebration. And I felt like the energy felt so good because I feel like what inevitably happens is they send that back to us. You know, they bless us with the energy too. And so these are some sort of creative ways and joyful ways too that we can commune with the other world in ways that we're feeding each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I don't need a reason to party. I mean, like, that's the reason. I'm like, yeah. I love. If you know me in real life, you know I love socializing.
That's so awesome.
And something that's coming to mind too is that even if you're at a party where that's not the explicit intention, or if you're just doing something, you can make what we call a spirit plate, where you just take a bite of each little food and offer it out to spirit and just infuse that intention. Like, there's so many little ways you can sneak offerings in, and you get more emboldened and courageous, and then you just don't care what anyone thinks, and then you become the like crazy lady that everyone's like, wait, she's on to something, and then they're making offerings, and it's just like, what have you done?
And then you pack your life up into two suitcases. You're like, how did I get in Peru?
And you're wearing sparkle jackets in Peru.
You're wearing like orange sparkle jackets. You're like, what the hell happened?
I love it.
I became the crazy lady.
No, you've always, see, it's like us people, we've always been that. We're just finally allowing ourselves to express it.
Well, yeah. And goodness, I mean, it's so liberating too. It's just like, actually, we embrace that. It's just, it's wildly liberating. Like, why not?
Yeah.
I'm feeling crazy and like howling under the full moon with like orange sparkle jackets and like some fabulous boots. A headdress too while you're at it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But no pants. No.
Well, yeah, in Natalie's vision, there's no pants. Like, I might want a fabulous skirt.
I might work from home just so I don't have to wear clothes.
I know some people are just, I know they're just like their form of liberation. They want to be like naked. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, right?
Like, totally.
Yeah, like society puts all these rules on us. Like, we got to wear clothes. But and then they're like, if you're gonna wear clothes, they have to be like nice, respectable clothes. I'm like, whatever. God, right. We should have a fashion show, a spirit and ancestor spirit and present time fashion show.
Totally
bizarre.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the little people too, as far as I can tell, is they love it. They love style, and they love you know, so they're said to be the bringers of tradition in the first place too. So so it's said that many of the like original threads have been designed by the little people too. So
very cool.
There you go.
Hey, so I have some feedback. Gosh, we really need, like, now it's like 18 episodes. We just need our own show. We just need our whole own show. So the do you remember a while back they were like this, they were like, the Contumble were talking about making this patchwork quilt. And you might not remember, it was in a divination we were talking on the show, and they were talking about making this quilt and having people send in patches from around the world. And so that's started. It's amazing. And it touched so many people's lives, and they sent me emails, and I like met them in real life. And it's amazing. And someone even sent me this beautiful insight that we're already weaving this energetic patchwork quilt, and this is like a representation of that beautiful weaving. So to anyone who's listened to that, I don't remember what episode it is. It's in a live episode. Listen to them all.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. So if anyone has patches they want to send in, they can contact me and I'll give them the information. So I've got this little so it's going.
That deeply, deeply, deeply touches me. So Is it quilted together already?
Just the collecting. Okay. Oh yeah. Wow. We've got quilting volunteers though. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
The Kuntumli must love that.
Yeah. So we're.
Wow. That's really gorgeous.
There's an epic centerpiece. And it's.
That's yeah. so amazing.
Yeah. 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 So that will be revealed, more to be revealed later, but
wow.
people who resonate
yeah,
with this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Send in your patchworks. Yeah, whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so I think it's really important to highlight, you're going to be having this, a gathering in a retreat over New Year's 2017 to 2018 in Peru, in the Sacred Valley,
yes.
and your Maori elder friend is coming, and you're going to have some other people there, and it's going to be a space to be in ceremony and ritual and to experience all that comes with a retreat, the ups and downs and ins and outs and connections and transformations and shedding of skin. But something I think that I also really love about it is that it's like lighthearted. You're like, it's New Year's. If you want to have some cheers with champagne on New Year's, have some cheers with champagne. Like it's you know, this clarifying and also lighthearted and like let's just go celebrate the spectrum of life. Do you want to tell a little bit more about that before we hop into talking with the Kuntumbli?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. So and that, you know, ties into what Natalie was sharing about the tour, and that, you know, I thought that it was going to conclude in the Sacred Valley and that I would be going on to Ecuador. When I came to the Sacred Valley, I was collaborating with a woman named Luciana, and she and I had a ritual in Urubamba. And it was beautiful, and she is a really loving, connected soul, and it was special for me too, because it was Luciana graciously was translating the Kuntumbli messages into Spanish, so it was mostly Spanish speaking. And to me, that was deeply, deeply moving to feel the translation from Spanish or the Kuntumbli to Spanish, and to experience it energetically touching the people that were there. And that night, so Luciana is quite connected spiritually and connects with these sacred apus and has been going through initiations with her Paco, as she calls it, which is, as people would consider, probably like a shaman. And so in that night, what she calls Mother God, which perhaps is Great Goddess, came through. That was the first time that she had connected with this force or this energy, which I'm imagining is probably like Great Goddess. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed almost like it just created itself, this retreat that has been created through us. But yeah, that will happen at this beautiful retreat center in Urubamba in the Sacred Valley. And yeah, it's going to be kind of a team coming together. So there's Luciana's Paco Eduardo, which it's an honor to have him in some ways opening up the ceremony with all of us, that he and his lineage traces back to the Incan civilization. And so he's descended from medicine people from the Incan civilization. And he's the one that's been taking her through the initiations. So it'll be Eduardo and Luciana, and then also Mantua that I was mentioning is coming from Eotiora, and myself, and then there's another guy named Daniel who's from Israel, and then, you know, there's going to be yoga instruction, and a lot of beautiful elements coming together. But it's going to be a lot of ritual, and it will kind of coalesce, or the last day will be going to Machu Picchu, And it's going to be, I'll say, like a proper New Year's celebration too, because it kind of happened organically. And yeah, like you were saying too, this kind of lighthearted quality to it, that it's like, it feels like it can happen, that the expression of spirituality can look, I'm sorry to say, but kind of extreme. And sorry to say it, but it's an invitation for us to have a little more ease, a little more inclusivity, a little more not, it has to be this or that. It has to be black or white. That it's like, what if it is an expression of life? And what if that's reminding us is that this is how we used to be in spirituality or with spirituality, that
or just even how we are now, but we need to honor and recognize that
how we are now. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't have to be this split. It's just, oh, I sometimes go out and have a drink and I feel really badly about that because I like to meditate too and I like to do yoga too. What if it's okay? What if it's okay to have a glass of champagne and to celebrate for New Year's, and it's contained within a ritual and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we can even dance too, and we can celebrate, and that healing can be contained within that same holding space, and that we can even cry, and we can, you know, we can grieve, we can make space for all of it, that it is, like you said, it is life, that all of that can be contained within it. So that's kind of the expression of how this retreat is going to look somewhat. And yeah, so it's a 6-day retreat, and yeah, it's going to be how we celebrate or welcome the new year, 2018.
Cool. And what's the site people can go to look at that? Or actually, you know, you can, we'll tell it at the end, because I'm sure people are going to just still be listening. So we'll say that at the end.
Yeah.
You can say it now too. Go for it.
Well, we can connect it to the show notes.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm sure also if you hop on Liv's newsletter, then you can be tuned in and follow her on Instagram. Get all the deets. So so all that'll be in the show notes. People can check that out. And I think that it is high time for saying hello to some contumble. And
yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna open up the space and talk with the contumble. Liv has already called them in. So we're ready to say hello and jump in. And so, Liv, we were talking a little bit before we got on the call, before we recorded,
mm-hmm.
about almost like climate change grief, like the overwhelming experience of facing a dying planet that's dying at the hands of humanity. And the grief and confusion and scaredness and powerlessness that I know I feel sometimes and others might feel. And I was wondering if we could ask the contumble, like, what can we attune our attention to and focus our attention on and co-create in the face of this? Like, is this just part of our path, or are there other options? What's most important for us to focus on right now about this?
They started diving into it, and I said, do you want to say hello to Natalie? They said, hello, Natalie.
Hi, contumble. I feel like we've already been saying hi a lot.
Yeah.
They're saying it's good for people to look deeply into a child's face. They said that's where you'll find your answers. They said, do you like it? Do you like to see a child suffer? They said, would it be okay? Would it be okay, or is it okay to see a child suffer knowing that it's kind of like the neglect of the adult? They said, these are the questions that humanity needs to consider. They said, look into a child's face and you'll find all the answers there. They said, in order for us to elaborate more deeply, they said, what is important to understand is that they said the answers are also held within the children, are contained within the children. They're saying that like quite literally also is to say that we could say the solutions for climate change, or perhaps you would say climate reversal, they're saying literally is living inside of the children. And so for adults or humans to engage children about, what do you think about this? And what do you think about the trash along the seashore? What do you think about, you know, the plastic in the ocean? Or what do you think about these, soda can plastic, how do you call that? The things that keep the soda cans together. What do you think about that, like injuring the birds? And they're saying that it is actually the answers, the responses, or the solutions are actually living inside of the children. They're saying there is no such a thing as reaching the point of no return. They're saying that there's no such thing as reaching the point of no return. They said that it is important for women to continue to band together, as they said. In devotion, or we could say in service to the earth. Being in deep dialogue with the earth. And so they show communities of women, or communities of the feminine, together in deep dialogue with the earth, almost like that's the central focus, or the central purpose of coming together is actually just listening to the earth.
Thank you, Kintanya.
He said an important thing to understand is that where this earth is headed is about it's about like zero point energy and zero footprint, zero carbon emissions. but everything coming down to a zero. And so they're showing that we're in kind of a shifting paradigm, and that has to do with science, that has to do with spirituality, that has to do with energy. They want people to have hope. They want people to have hope. They're saying never fear, never fear, never fear. They are wanting people to have hope. Because they're saying it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. They're saying, you know, band together with your community, band together with your friends. Show the earth that you care. They said, the earth is alive. She'll know if you care or not. Show the earth that you care. Yeah, that's their answer.
Ah, thank you, Contumblé. And I wonder, you know, for those that are kind of in that vortex of the fear, is grieving the way out, or is there, you know, what can they do to sort of move that energy where they're feeling hopeless?
And they're saying they don't mean to undermine what people may be feeling, what they're going through, and also the shifts and the changes that are happening. They don't mean to undermine that. They're saying that the sensitives, they said the sensitives are the leaders that we need. We need the sensitivity. They said we need the depth of your sensitivity. And so they're saying as an example or something that can be done is to come together in community, and they show the community planting these crops, and it gets watered with your tears. Understand? It's like, it's a metaphor and it's literal what they're saying. It's a metaphor and it's a literal what they're saying is that coming together in community, we're planting these crops and we're watering them with our tears. It's a metaphor and it's literal.
Beautiful.
Because they're saying the only way forward is through our tears. How do we avoid feeling the impact of our grandmothers, of our grandfathers? You know, how do we move forward without feeling the pain of that? And how that affects our children or our grandchildren. They're saying no longer will it be good enough to as they're saying, like, to pretend a voice doesn't exist in the circle, meaning, let's say, your community or we're a community of 30, no voice can be eradicated from that circle. They said no longer will that be good. Like it can't work. They said if we try to sever a voice, that becomes an endangered species. A severed voice becomes an endangered species. Mm-hmm. They're one and the same.
Okay.
You want to say something else to them?
I want to say thank you. I feel like that was a potent message that contained with that is so much power and hope for people who are feeling that grief. So thank you. And maybe to ask them if there's just anything else they want to share with us and our listeners at the moment that
okay.
Just open the floor to them to share something.
Okay.
He said something funny. They're talking about life a long, 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 long time ago in the village, and they're saying people live together in the village. It's kind of funny what they're saying. And they're saying people live together in the village, and sometimes they didn't like each other. They wouldn't say anything, but they wouldn't like each other. They said things haven't changed much like that.
Interesting.
That's funny. They said it doesn't have to be that way. They said, your accomplishment is my accomplishment. Your success is my success. Your failure is also my failure. They said, this is the consciousness that we're moving into. No more you trip and fall. And that means, you know, I'm secretly, you know, feeling, you know, excited about that. No more of that. They said, we're moving into a consciousness where we're kind of, I guess you could say we're all kind of empathically connected. It's just like as you excel, we all excel. We're all going through it together. We're not separate. And so they said, in the meantime, it's important for us all to kind of work on our personal healing, essentially, so that we can show up to the whole or show up to the collective as a whole, basically, and that we can continue to heal in community. They're also telling people in a very practical way, keep saving your seeds, keep saving your seeds, keep saving your seeds. That's literal. Because eventually we're all going to be planting gardens together. You know? And so we all want to have seeds to contribute to the garden. This is literal what they're saying. And so we're saving our seeds, we're saving our seeds, we're saving our seeds. They show that that's basically in the times to come, who knows when, that's going to be, that's abundance, basically. That's abundance is our seeds that we can plant in the earth. Like, how much more abundant does it get than that? So I'll say thank you, Kim.
Yeah, thank you, Kintumble.
Thank you. Okay.
Beautiful. That last bit was thank you, Kintumble. Thank you, Liv. That was so affirming for what I've been visioning for where I'm kind of taking projects. It's like I've been so feeling that, like, okay, this isn't about, I mean, we've all been feeling this for a while, but this isn't about me versus you trying to win to the top. We're in that circle and that community. And how do we really truly show up to that in a way that affirms our abundance and helps us to it really embodied that wholeness that we are.
I have heard them speak a few different times in different community settings about seeds too. Yeah, that seems to be a thing. But cool. I think a lot of humans are on that focus too of preserving organic seeds.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's share with people how they can get in touch with you and what they can, because you offer many different things and then you have that retreat coming up. So you want to share what you offer and how they can get in touch with you. And then I want to invite people to our secret episode where we're going to get into some really amazing stuff about your experience in Iceland. With the little people there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have a website, ancestorbridge.com, and yeah, people feel called to work together. There's basically an application process with that, and then upcoming, when I come into the States, I'll have an ancestralization ritual in the South, in Mississippi, in October, and then with Rama, perhaps some of you heard Rama on a previous interview with Natalie. So Rama and I are going to be having a women's ritual retreat weekend in the Asheville, North Carolina area. So that'll be in October. And then
that's episode 73 for anyone who wants to listen to Rama.
Yeah. So we'll post the rest in the show notes, and it'll be good to connect.
Very cool. And everyone, you can come check out the secret episode at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret. And thank you so much, Liv, for coming back.
Oh, awesome. My pleasure. I love connecting with you.
I love connecting with you, and I've heard so many amazing stories of how your sharing on this show has just transformed people's lives. Like, it's almost like it doesn't surprise me anymore. I'm like, oh, another, like, like still very like, wow. But I'm also like, aha, I see a pattern here.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's very cool. Thank you. Very powerful.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. And we'll see everyone over in the secret episode.
See you there.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope this brought you some insights and aha moments and helped you just have more clarity about your path and approach to living your purpose and embodying your truth. I invite you all to go check out the secret episode with Liv Wheeler at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret. And I'll see you next week with another amazing conversation.